Professor Stephen O'Rahilly is a professor of clinical biochemistry and medicine and head of the University of Cambridge's Department of Clinical Biochemistry. He is co-director of the Institute of Metabolic Science, which he also founded, and is also director of the Metabolic Research Laboratories at the University of Cambridge. He is recognized worldwide as a leader in research relating to the fundamental defects that result in human diabetes. His work has provided a better molecular understanding of these disease processes so that improved therapy can be designed. His work has led to many fundamental contributions to our understanding of the normal biology of insulin action and also defects that cause both human obesity and insulin resistance. I spoke to Professor O'Rahilly about his work at the award of his honorary doctorate from the University of Warwick. Stephen, you're director of the Metabolic Research Laboratories at Cambridge. Can you just explain to me a little bit about the research that you're involved in there?
Sure. The Metabolic Research Labs are part of a larger Institute of Metabolic Science. Cambridge sort of spotted about a decade ago that the problems of obesity and diabetes were likely to become very major areas of both health importance and of biomedical opportunity. And we made a commitment to creating this new institute about a decade ago, and it actually formally opened just last year. And we try and address really a couple of questions. Really. One question is, you know, why do some people get fat and some people remain lean, and can we use that information to try and help people not get fat or treat obesity when it appears? And the second question we ask is, why do some people who are obese get all of these adverse metabolic complications? Why do they get diabetes? Why do they get heart disease, even cancer? So they're the two key questions. And within the Institute, we take a very holistic approach to the study of this, because clearly these diseases have become more common. There are clearly environmental determinants. And the Medical Research Council have implanted really into our institute an entire floor, an entire MRC epidemiology unit, much of which is concerned with understanding a lot of these environmental determinants, particularly physical activity and diet, involved in this disorder. Now, my own group, I'm more of a nerd, if you like. We focus on the more fundamental science, trying to understand the molecules involved in controlling body weight, for example, or controlling how insulin works and maintains normal glucose levels in the body. And we have a group of scientists ranging from very basic scientists just trying to understand those fundamental processes through to, if you like, translational scientists trying to develop new therapies for types of diabetes, etc. So within the Institute, we have a broad church of activities. We even have our hospital clinic in the area on our ground floor, so it keeps us really grounded in reality.
I suppose for many people, issues around diabetes relate to, many people think about obesity and exercise and eating. Yeah. How does developing a molecular understanding of the condition and the causes and effects that relate to it help us in developing treatments and advising on prevention?
Sure. Well, I think a very good analogy is high blood pressure. About 50 or 60 years ago, there were tens of thousands of people in hospital wards in Britain dying of the effects of high blood pressure. And the reason that isn't happening now is twofold. One is, we know that dietary salt in very high amounts is bad, so there's a public health approach to try and reduce the amount of dietary salt. But secondly, we began to understand the control of blood pressure, what was controlling it in the body, and developing over the years, it took 40 to 50 years, but developing safe and specific drugs to help control blood pressure. And now in the UK, practically nobody, there's nobody whose blood pressure can't be controlled appropriately using a combination of dietary and drug treatments. Now, my vision for obesity and diabetes is it's very similar. There are, of course, dietary interventions, of course, exercise, but for some people they will not be enough. We know that the drive to become obese and the drive to get diabetes is very strong and strongly inherited. And so, therefore, I think we're going to need a multimodality approach. We're going to need the public health messages. We're going to need the changes in things like portion size and food availability. But we are also going to need, even with those, there are going to be people who are obese and diabetic. And people underestimate, I think, the degree to which the chances of developing this in any environment are heavily genetic. They're very strong heritability in both of these disorders.
And you indicated that you have a clinical element to the laboratories. How important is it that that universities and other bodies make sure that we're connecting academic research to and translating that to the practical application for treatments and prevention?
I think it's absolutely crucial. We're very fortunate in Cambridge to have a fairly large number of people who really have a foot in both camps, who are well-trained scientists but actually practicing clinicians. And in some ways, they are uniquely placed. I mean, you can do it with people with good basic scientists talking to good clinical researchers. But in my experience, it's hard to beat the mixture of someone who actually wears two hats. I mean, it can be quite a stressful trying to reconcile the two aspects of life. But it really gives you a flavor for what is relevant in both the basic and in the clinical observations you make.
Are you optimistic about our ability, considering the fact that our lifestyles are still changing and the way that we eat and the lack of exercise that we get means that these are increasing problems globally?
Yeah.
Are you optimistic that between a better understanding of the lifestyle elements, but also the biology of the disease, that we are going to be able to develop positive strategies in this area?
Well, the wonderful thing about science, rather than the arts disciplines or history, I think, is scientists have to be optimists. Otherwise, they wouldn't be bothering. So of course, I'm going to say, yes, we can, as Obama would say. And of course, you really do need to take, in this case, a historical perspective. Until 1995, we knew the square root of nothing about the control of body weight in mammals, never mind humans. And we've only known stuff for about a decade. And so we're still grappling with how this body weight control mechanism it works even in normal individuals, and we're just getting to glimpses of how it might go wrong in obesity. So I'm optimistic, but I think it's wrong of biomedical researchers to promise cures in 5 years. And I think that we chip away, and gradually we discover things. I mean, already, just in some rare cases of children with severe obesity, we have been able to identify a therapy for that small group of children. So we've proven the principle that you can, if you find the underlying defect, you can actually do something about it. So.
And the risks of not tackling this problem are quite significant, aren't they?
The risks are very high, particularly in developing countries, because diabetes is difficult to manage. It's expensive to manage. You need to measure blood glucose. You need all the technology. You need expensive insulin delivery systems, etc. It's a hugely expensive condition to manage, and it causes horrible side effects: blindness, amputations, renal failure. The prospect of impoverished developing countries having an epidemic of diabetes, particularly, which obviously is one of the consequences of obesity, is really quite frightening.
Stephen, thank you very much.